sanctuary for you. Sing it unto him once again now. Oh Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary so pure and holy, so tried and true, and with thanksgiving I'll be a living, oh sanctuary for you. Praise the Lord, saints. Just real quick, wanted to give an update on the little baby Sean in the Philippines. And Brother Bob, can you bring up his little pictures? There's two pictures that I just want to show you. So that way you keep praying for him. Okay, that's the little baby, right? I think that was taken about a week or two ago. And I think this is just a recent little picture. But anyways, the update of him is baby Sean is scheduled to go home on Wednesday. Amen. Exactly 2 months in the hospital. He's on oxygen with weekly monitoring. This will be the first time that the parents will be able to hold him. So just think about that. Put yourself in that position. He is in blood thinner due to a blood clotting condition. His lungs also need to heal on their own. So they are asking for prayers for these. The family is very grateful for all of the ones that have prayed. Please pray that everything goes as planned, that nothing else happens to hinder his going home on Wednesday. So just continue to remember him. Brother Branham always often said, you know, you can't feel for the infirmities of the people if you don't put yourself in their shoes. And so if you as a parent and you think, my, if that was my own child, now I could not hold that baby. You know, mom needs to hold a baby, needs to have that bonding with a baby. Hasn't been able to bond with it for 2 months. So just continue to remember for them and the family. But we thank God that that's the plan. So we appreciate God for all of that. Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. Well, let's continue to worship him. Amen. Let's just sing that song. I love this little song. You may know it, you may not, but we're going to learn it if you don't. Page 310. I love him too much. We'll just sing the chorus. I love him too much to fail him now. Oh, too much to break my vow, for I promised the Lord that I would make it somehow. I love him too much to fail him now. Once again, I love him too much to fail him now. Oh, too much to break my vow, for I promised the Lord that I would make it somehow. I love him too much to fail him now. Once again, I love him too much to fail him now. Oh, too much to break my vow, for I promised the Lord that I would make it somehow. I love him too much to fail him now. I wish we would maybe think about that during our temptations. before we fail Him. Amen. Praise God. Let's sing this little chorus, next page 317. I'll say yes, Lord, yes. I'll say yes, Lord, yes, to Your will and to Your way. I'll say yes, Lord, yes, I will trust Him and obey. When Your Spirit speaks to me, with my whole heart I'll agree. And my answer will be yes, Lord, yes. Oh, I'll say yes, Lord, yes, to Your will and to Your way. I'll say yes, Lord, yes, I will trust Him and obey. When Your Spirit speaks to me, with my whole heart I'll agree. And my answer will be yes, Lord, yes. Once again, oh, I'll say yes, Lord, yes, to Your will and to Your way. Oh, I'll say yes, Lord, yes, I will trust Him and obey. When Your Spirit speaks to me, with my whole heart I'll agree. And my answer will be yes, Lord, yes. Amen. Praise God. We say yes to all the Word. Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. Let's take up our offering. Brother Mark, could you help us, please? Praise God. Amen. Let's just sing a song, When I Reach That City. Page 26. When I reach that city on the hill. On the top of Mount Zion is a city, and the earth with glory it doth fill. I shall look on its beauty in the morning, when I reach that city on the hill. Oh, that city on Mount Zion. Though a pilgrim, yet I love thee still. I'll not leave thee through the ages, when I reach that city on the hill. I'm invited to come home to that city, for the word says, whosoever will. And I'll find there a mansion for me waiting, when I reach that city on the hill. Oh, that city on Mount Zion. Yet I love thee still. I'll not leave thee through the ages, when I reach that city on the hill. Death will never molest me in that city, never leave me lying cold and chill. And I'll enter to live up there forever, when I reach that city on the hill. Oh, that city on Mount Zion. Though a pilgrim, yet I love thee still. I'll not leave thee through the ages, when I reach
that city on the hill. So I'll stay here until my Savior calls me, trying daily to perform His will. Then He'll say unto me, well done up yonder, when I reach that city on the hill. Let's stand to our feet. Oh, that city on Mount Zion, though a pilgrim, yet I love thee still. I'll not leave thee through the ages when I reach that ceiling. Let's sing that last verse again. So I'll stay here until. So I'll stay here until my Savior calls me, trying daily to perform His will. Then He'll say unto me, well done up yonder, when I reach that city on the hill. Oh, that city on Mount Zion, though a pilgrim, yet I love thee still. I'll not leave thee when I reach that city on the hill. Once again, that chorus. Oh, that city on Mount Zion, though a pilgrim, yet I love thee still. I'll not leave thee through the ages when I reach that city on the hill. Amen. Let's just give the Lord a clap of praise.
Hallelujah. Amen. We are just going to stay here. I'm just going to stay here waiting and doing His will. And His will is His word. Amen. Praise God. So we stay busy with that. Makes time go by faster. Amen. Praise God. Well, we're going to bring Brother Aaron out. And I don't know if he's ready or not, but... But we're going to bring him out a little early. So let's just sing "Open the Eyes of My Heart" as Brother Aaron comes. Are you ready for the word?
Amen.
Amen. Remember, don't pull on the man. You pull on the gift. Amen. And then you can receive from the gift. Amen. Amen. Praise God.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see You. Oh, I want to see You. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Oh, open the eyes of my heart. I want to see You. Yes, I want to see You. To see You high and lifted up, shining in the light of Your glory. Pour out Your power and love as we sing, holy, 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 high and lifted up, shining in the light of Your glory. Pour out Your power and love as we sing, holy, 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 holy. I want to sing.
Amen. God bless you. Good to be in the house of the Lord again.
Amen.
And appreciate the Lord for all of His blessings. And I'm not going to sing. And I wanted to say happy birthday to Lily. And I'll always remember her birthday. 3 years ago, I had my elbow surgery. And I thank the Lord every day that the Lord touched me.
Amen. That's right. Yes.
You know, I've been many places, and, you know, I've had the opportunity. You know, I always want to share that testimony with people. Because, you know, when they looked at my x-rays, when I first broke my elbow, you know, when you break your humerus, contrary to popular opinion, it ain't funny.
You break humerus.
Yeah.
Right.
But, you know, you have a lot of nerves in your elbow that controls your hand and everything. And that was one of the first things that was Dr. Davis was looking at after my surgery was over with, and I went back for my post-op, and he was checking to make sure my hand was okay. Mm-hmm. And he was so relieved. And he said, you know, he said, I like to think I'm good, but he said we had divine intervention.
Amen.
And I appreciate doctors and surgeons
Amen.
Who believe in God.
Yep.
And
yes, sir.
The Lord knew what was going to happen, but he sent the right man for the job.
That's right. Amen.
And,
Amen.
You know, even when I went through my therapy and everything, and when they went to do my permanent impairment rating, when that physical therapist saw my x-rays, she didn't believe I was the same person. They said I only lost 3% of use in that arm. And most of the days, I don't even realize I've missed 3%. So I always thank God for that every single day. You know, I had physical therapists, and even Dr. Davis, my surgeon, you know, there's other people that's had the same accident that I did, breaking your humerus, and, you know, they never gained use of their arm or very limited use. And, you know, it's just the grace of God that I was, got back all the use that I did. And, I thank the Lord every day for that. So. I remember Lily's birthday. I had a great day. You know, you have trials and tribulations come your way, but you know, if he's going to bring you into a trial, the scripture tells us that he's make a way for us to get through them. So I just thank the Lord for that every single day. So if you have your Bibles this afternoon, we're going to read from three different places in the scripture, Isaiah 53, and then we're going to go to Hebrews 9, kind of talk about some of the things that Wade said this morning. And I told him, I was going to say as Brother Wade said this morning. So, but hopefully it'll be a blessing to you.
Amen.
But I want to speak on odd title, The Bloodiest Day, but I want to talk about some things, and hopefully it'll be a blessing to you. But let's just all bow our heads, and we'll speak to the author this afternoon. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for another opportunity to be in your house, Lord. Lord, that we can come and gather around your word. Father, you said where two or three are gathered in my name,
Amen.
I'm in the midst. Lord, it doesn't even have to be a physical location, Lord, but as long as we are gathered in you, and Lord, many are watching via the internet today, Lord Jesus, in their homes or wherever they may be. Lord, I just pray that you'll be with them, Lord, because we all gather in you in Christ. And we just pray that you come and speak to each heart and each life. Lord, just help me to get myself out of the way, Lord. Anoint each one of us, Lord. Lord, that we can receive from you. It's not a man, Lord, but it's you speaking through a man, through a gift. And Lord, we pray that the Holy Ghost has preeminence in this service today, Lord Jesus. Lord, I've studied and I've looked at things, and Lord, I've just commit myself to you. Help us today, Lord. Lord, we just want to lift you up. We want to praise your great name for all that you've done for us. Lord, you brought us through many trials and temptations. Lord, as the scripture song talks about, Lord, we've come through many things, but Lord, you led us all the way through, some through the water, some through the flood, some through great trials. But Lord, we've all come through the blood. And Lord, we're just so thankful for that blood today, Lord Jesus, as we look into the scripture and speak. Lord, what a marvelous thing that you've done for us, Lord. We can't praise you enough for it. Lord, let us just have our hearts and our minds on you today, Lord. Lord, just give us what we have need of. Give us our daily bread this day. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Isaiah 53, and it says, "Who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed?" He said, "For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not." Now, going to Hebrews chapter 9, says, "But Christ being come and high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not with this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of an heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead sins to serve the living God. And for this cause he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death for the redemption of the transgressions that we were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. Yes. For where a testament is, there must of necessity be the death of the testator. For a testament is a force after men are dead." Now, I want you to pay attention to that. "Otherwise, it is of no strength at all while the testator liveth. Whereupon neither the first testament was dedicated without blood. For when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people, according to the law, he took the blood of calves and of goats with water and scarlet wool and hyssop and sprinkled both the book and all the people, saying, this is the blood of the testament which God hath enjoined unto you. Moreover, he sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry."
Yes.
If I don't stir your soul, your spoons fell out of your bowl.
Right, right.
"And almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood there is no remission." 1 Timothy 6:12, we're just going to read one scripture here. He says, "Fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses."
Right.
Amen. God bless you this afternoon. Have your seats. And I want to read a little story to you. And imagine a place where there was a law or a word that declared freedom and liberty to all. No bondage to anyone. But in this place, through unbelief and the hardness of hearts, they broke this declaration, this law, and great turmoil continued, which was the condition of the time. And so as it continued, said there was two laws during this time came into existence to govern the people. But you know what? They never could get away from the first law that was written. The first law had to be fulfilled. And so during all this great turmoil in this time, you know, they never could get away from the law that was written. This word that was given. And because of this unsettled condition, there had to be one that come and settled that question. Why were some free and some were not? And why were they in the condition? Why was the land in the condition that it was in? And one day there was a man that was born. He came, and he came from humble beginnings. Here was a man who was born in one place and he was raised in another place. It was said that his mother believed that she had a word from the Lord, her son would do great things. A number of folks saw nothing special in this man. As a young man, he amazed people with his speech and understanding, though he had no formal training or education. He was known for making things out of wood. One day, while speaking, he declared to the people that a house divided against itself cannot stand. But there were a lot of people that wanted to hold on to their old traditions. And they just wanted to hold the old men, the old ideas. They just wanted to cling to their traditions and stay in a lukewarm condition. They didn't want to ruffle anything. They just wanted everything, try to keep everything as it was. They treated a temporary condition that only pushed the question forward. And then the question never was answered. And it just kept going forward. But this man, that was his desire to settle this question. He was so hated that they tried to kill him before he ever got started. He had to come secretly to a place to fulfill his oath. To come to the place where he was to fulfill the law, the word that was written of him. This man did not act sufficiently to suit some. He did not act the way that some people thought. They thought his behavior was reprehensible and beneath the station of his life. And people thought, if this man only knew what was going on, how could he act like the way he did? But see, they didn't understand him. This man was identified with the Old Testament prophets. Yet they called him a devil. And this embodiment of the word that was written of him walked out and declared and made a decree that all who were bound would be set free. That was his decree. That he made that liberty and freedom would be of those who desired it. There came a time in this great struggle. We see that there was a war taking place. And it raged on. And there was no place for it to come to an end. There come a day where they say is the bloodiest day. And nobody saw the great thing that was taking place that day, but it was a bloody day. But from that bloodiest day of that shedding of blood, a decree went forth that the enemy's power was broken. Amen. But you know what? It was not realized on that day. Said the war still raged on, but it never changed. But after this decree went forth and it came into effect, there were people that started to walk in a realm that they had never walked in before. That people could walk in a realm and because they could walk in the law that was written, the word, the decree that had went forth, they could walk in that word, and it was totally new to these people. But it was totally new. But you know what? They were victorious in what they were doing because they began to walk and they began to decree to everyone of the liberty that they had. And you know, even during this time, there were ups and downs and there were victories and there were defeats. But you know what? There was still an enemy that was defeated. And they still did not see that enemy defeated. But you know what? After that time, as time went on, they saw that the enemy came to a total defeat. Amen. And one day after this, the men who were in rebellion to this kingdom had to give reverence. They had to swear their allegiance to this man and his domain. They had to show their reverence, even though they were acting in a rebellion and they didn't like what was going on and everything, but yet they had to voice who he was and his position. Now I want to ask y'all a question. Who do you think I'm speaking of this afternoon? Does anybody have any idea? Who? Very good. You probably read that already. I read it. Abraham Lincoln. Abraham Lincoln, that's who that was. The bloodiest day was the Battle of Antietam. The Battle of Sharpsburg, Maryland. And the decree that went out from that battle, after that battle, was Lincoln's Emancipation Proclamation. And you know, many people think that when you read that, most people think you're talking of Jesus. And they think that's the plan of salvation. But you know what? They don't realize, you know, they don't see what a great man that Lincoln was. And you know, you kind of know where I'm going, but I just, you know what's so amazing is we had opportunity a few weeks ago. We went to Springfield and we actually got to go to Kentucky, see where Lincoln was born, where he grew up, and we got to go to Springfield, see his tomb, his home. And you know, we got to spend a little time looking around. And you know, most people don't know this. My birthday's February 12th. I was born on, I think it was the 165th birthday of Lincoln. I was born on Abraham Lincoln's birthday. And he's one of the greatest people to me. Yep. Brother Branham said, in the influence of another, he said, but one of the greatest, and to my opinion, the greatest president that we ever had in this nation was Abraham Lincoln. Now, not because he was a Republican, because what he was. Because he was what he was, a godly man. And he raised up to serve God. And he said, if there's anything that I want to give praise to, he said, or my life was influenced by, was a godly mother who taught me to pray and how to know Jesus as my Savior. You know, that was one of the reasons why I read the scripture that I did. A man of sorrow and acquainted with grief. You know, Lincoln lost a lot of family members. He lost sons, his sister, his mom. But you know, he had a mom that passed away when he was young, but he had a stepmother that came. And his stepmother was a godly woman. And she said from the first time she met Abraham Lincoln when he was a child, she knew God was going to do great things through him. Just like Jesus, you know, Mary had an angel visitation that told her who Jesus was and he would do great things. But, you know, we talk about these things and you look at the life of people and, you know, Brother Branham said that, you know, Abraham Lincoln didn't have an education, but he said he didn't allow that hold him back. You know, you look at all the things that he done in his life, all the things that was against him. And you know, Brother Ram talks about, as Christians, you know, we have all these trials and problems and temptations, but are we using that as a crutch? Are we actually using that to our ability? You know, because, you know, we have the same goal and we have the same, commission to be the best that we can be. To do all that we can for God. And you know, to see these things and, you know, to do what God has called us to do. God didn't call us to all be the same thing. God didn't call us to all do the same thing, but he called us to be faithful to what he called us to. And you know, Brother Branham, speaking here, this is from Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, day and forever, 1955. He said, did you ever come to think of it that most men who ever did anything great for the kingdom of God stand alone? Do you ever think of it? You have to stand by yourself. Jesus stood alone And all down through the ages, other men who stood along, Finney, Sankey, and Calvin, Knox, even to Abraham Lincoln, that's right, stood alone. Men who do great things, men of vision, men of spiritual understanding, stand alone. And to think that's because that Jesus had to stand alone himself. So, you know, you look at the life of Abraham Lincoln, and you know, when you read the things that he went through. You know, Lincoln said one time that he said that my best friend is a person who gave me a book that I've never read. You know, he had insatiable desire. You know, his dad wanted him just to work. But you know, his stepmom, she encouraged him to study. And because he had a desire to learn. Brother Branham said that he had two books that he read from. He said he had a Bible and he had the Fox's Book of Martyrs. Said one of the books that he read the most was, the other book that he read a lot was The Pilgrim's Progress. You know, there's people today that read Abraham Lincoln's writings, not for the things that they say, but because of the style in which he wrote. They said there's not a writer that they can find anywhere that was so influenced by the scripture in his writings that they compare him to the scriptures, to the scribes of the Old Testament and the Bible, because he was so influenced by the scripture in his writings. And you know, because in lots of times when he began to speak and make speeches and everything, there's a lot of things that come out of the scripture. The way he answered questions and different things was all scriptural, because he was so influenced by the scripture. And you know, it's so amazing, because you know, many times people talk about, you know, Stonewall Jackson and different ones that Brother Bram talks about, you know, being so influenced. You know, Jackson was the one that, you know, he talks about, you know, he said, I thank God. There was a man that wrote to him. It was a friend of his and wrote to Jackson. And he said, the scripture says pray without ceasing. He said, I don't understand that. He said, I find that very hard to do. And General Jackson said, that's very easy for me. He said, I can't drink open as just as natural it is for me to open my mouth to drink a, take a sip of water. He said, it's just that simple to thank God for the water. He said everything. He said just take out paper and pen to write a letter. He said it's just that simple to pray for the person that you're writing it to. And he said when I took a letter that I go to open, he said I pray to God to prepare me for the contents of it. And he said, you know, he said when he taught in school at the Virginia Military Institute, you know, he said, I pray for the students. He said, I pray for me that I'll be the right kind of instructor for them, because you know, he was molding these young men that had been given to his charge. And you know, and so everything that he had to do, and you know, Lincoln was the same type man. Everything that he done, everything that he said had to be influenced by the scripture. Well, and so, you know, and today, you know, are we that influenced by the scripture? Are we so influenced by the scripture, by the word, that everything that you know, people hear us speak, are we so worldly? Are we so lax? Are we so involved? Are we so, you know, full of the word that people see that? You know, because, you know, that's what we have to have in this hour. You know, are we holding on to the word that much? Do we stand out against the things that are wrong? Do we speak out against the things that are wrong? You know, Lincoln's greatest thing, I guess the thing, you know, because the thing that he was so against, the thing that he stood against the most, that he's so known for, was slavery. And you know, when you go to we were at the National Museum, the Presidential Museum there in Springfield, and you know, there's a statue, it's a setting, big stage there that you can look at, but it shows the New Orleans and the slave trade. And Brother Bram talks about those women are, you know, and the husbands being pulled away from each other and mothers being separated from their children being sold off as animals. And you know, he talks about, you know, he saw that in New Orleans and it had such a profound effect on him. And he said, you know, he said, I'll hit against that thing. He said, if it takes my life. And you know, and he said it did cost him his life, but that was the one thing that he was going to stand against. And you know, in the beginning of our nation, you know, when the founding fathers sat down and began to write about our nation, you know what? They had come out from underneath bondage. You know, because they didn't have the rights and the freedoms. Why? Because they were mistreated by Great Britain. And they separated. You know, we just decided that we were going to establish a land, a nation based on laws. Not based on mob rule. Not by just some willy-nilly whoever's in charge fluctuating back and forth. But you know what? Because the founding fathers said that God had given us rights that no man can take away from you. They were given that inalienable rights. And our government was established to recognize those. The government didn't give you your rights. God gave you your rights. We were given those freedoms because we were creations of God. And you know, when Lincoln went back to that, you know, as they said, you know, he was looking back at what the founding fathers had said. And you know, even in the beginning, they were abolitionists that wanted to get rid of slavery from the beginning. But you know what? They couldn't. They were, because they had to hold this country together long enough for it to get started. And the only thing they could do is create a compromise. And you know what? It started a struggle. And you know what? It always had struggled all the way down through history. There's a story that said that Lincoln's family moved from Kentucky because Kentucky allowed slavery. And his dad was against slavery. And so when he went, and then they had some other personal issues that took place, some land disputes and different things that happened in Kentucky, which led him to Illinois. But you know, all these things, you know, he went back and was looking at this struggle that took place. And you know, and it was, as time went on, you can't just cover it up. You can't just hide it. You just can't bury it. Why? Because there had to come a time where somebody had to answer this question. This question had to be answered. Because that's the reason when Lincoln stood up that day in 1858 and he made that speech. He said, a house divided against itself cannot stand. He said, this country cannot be half slave and half free. He said, because at some point in time, he said, it's got to be all free or it's got to be all slave. You can't have both of them. It's not going to continue this way. And we see all the way through the scripture, we see different ones who raised up and you know, they wanted to continue the president before Lincoln was President Buchanan. Buchanan didn't want to take on the idea of slavery. He just wanted it to continue the same way it was. We've always had slavery. It's always been this way. Why don't it just continue? Why? Because you know what? The fabric of this nation wouldn't stand. You can't live that way. And as it continued to boil over, you know what? There had to come a time that there had to come an answer. And it so fractured this nation that there was no, well, you know, they had to have somebody come that would stand up and either be total slavery or be totally against it. There had to be one that could come to answer that question. And you know, even Lincoln was personally against it. Yeah, he said, yeah, if the government allows it, then it has to continue that way. But until there's a time in which it can be eliminated. But you know what? And that's the reason that, you know, people thought that he acted too slow or he didn't act in a certain way. And he didn't just go in and just bulldoze everything as the saying is. Why? Because he had to go according to the law. You know, and Jesus, we're going to, you know, look at a few things in Jesus' life. You know, Jesus hung out with a bunch of sinners and publicans and all these areas. And people's like, do you know why is he out? If he's exactly who he says he is, then why does he fellowship with these type people? Why does he do the things that he does? And Jesus said, you know, he said, the physician doesn't go to the people that are well. He goes to the people that are sick. These are the people that need it. They need this help. And he said, I'll come to them. He said, because this is the people that I'm to come to. But you see, Lincoln came to do this one thing. God raised him up. Why? Because it was a time that it had to be answered. But you know, they hated Lincoln so much that they tried to kill him multiple times. He had, on the way from Springfield to Washington, D.C. for the inauguration, they had the presidential train coming from Springfield. But he got to a certain point before he got to Baltimore, I believe it was, they had to swap trains. Alan Pinkerton, who is from the Pinkerton Agency, the great American detective, you know, he was able to intervene, found out about the plot, and then he was able to make a way that he came in secretly into Washington without anyone knowing. He was already in Washington before the train ever made it. And you know, they wanted to kill Jesus too. You know, they wanted to kill Jesus. And you know, he told the disciples one day, he said, you know, that there in, I believe it was in Mark, where he talks about going up to the Feast of Tabernacles. And he said, you know, he said, I'm not going. But, you know, he didn't go the way they said, they thought he was. Right. But he went secretly to fulfill that oath. Right. Sure. Right. Because, you know, the one thing is that Jesus had to fulfill the law that was written of him. Hey, with the script, the word was written of him, and he had to fulfill it. And so when he went to go fulfill that, just like Lincoln, when he went to go fulfill the oath, that was because the law said that he was supposed to go take this oath of his office. Well, he had to go fulfill the law just like Jesus did. Jesus had to go and do the same thing. He had to go fulfill the law that was written of him. So he had to go, because he had to present himself at the feast, because that was the law of God. And so you see all these different things that he done in his life as he went through, you know, of the humble beginning in his life. And, you know, he read, they said that Lincoln had about, if you totaled up the whole time that he went to school, it equaled up about less than a year of time that he had spent. But, you know, he learned on his own. But, you know, here's a guy that come from the backwoods of Kentucky, and, you know, people just thought he was some kind of country bumpkin that didn't know anything. But you know what? He had read, and God had blessed him with a skill that when people come, even when Peter Cartwright, who was the Methodist preacher, the circuit riding preacher that Brother Ram talked about, when he first met Lincoln, Lincoln was just some backwoods kid that, like in his early 20s, that he didn't think anything of until he started talking to Lincoln, and come to find out, Lincoln wasn't no pushover. He come to find out he met a guy that actually knew something. He was astonished at what this man knew. They just thought he was some kind of country bumpkin out there splitting wood and hoeing corn. But you know what? He had actually had a gift and actually had studied. And people were surprised at what he knew. But some people didn't see any greatness in him. And, you know, just like Jesus, you know, Jesus being 12 years old in the temple discussing with the scribes and the doctors and the Pharisees and all, and they were amazed at whose kid is this? Yeah, right. Yeah. That he had done all these great things. But see, all these things, you know, and most people didn't even know who he was. Well, they didn't know who Jesus was. He was virtually unknown until he began to speak. And you know, even when he began to speak, people thought, you know, that he didn't know what he believed. Because, you know, they had already had all the great scribes and all the Pharisees and all, you know, they had all of their traditions of how everything was supposed to be. They believed everything a certain way. You know, they wanted to hold on. Well, we're Abraham's seed. And, you know, we've received the law of Moses, and we've always done it this way. But you know what? There was one that come to, he was the fulfillment of that word. He was the embodiment of that word. when Lincoln come into the presidency, he was the embodiment of this word. He was the of this country. He was the embodiment of this country. And he came to fulfill the word, the law, the Constitution that was written of him. And when he came, then he came to do this job was to fight this great stain on our country. And so we see how this thing went. They were fighting. You know, there were so many that, you know, they hated Lincoln for what he stood for. He's going to destroy our way of life. Well, you know what? This is the, you know, because when you look at it, this was the needed to be destroyed. Why? Because it couldn't continue the same way it was. But the word that was ultimately written of us by our law said that all men are created equal.
Amen.
So you couldn't have some that had it and some that didn't. And so when you see how this all was to play out, then, you know, we see this great war that took place. And you know, it wasn't that Lincoln wanted this war, but you know, it was what took place.
Right.
It's the way that people reacted to it. You know, he did not want that, but he wanted to bring the people to the place that they needed to come to see the truth. And you know, they come up with this great war, and you know, we see how it was such a terrible war that took place, and in the midst of all this fighting and everything taking place, you know, if you look at it, there was no way this war was ever going to come out the way it did. It took, because when you saw the first fighting and the Union just taking a beating, and you know, all of the generals that Lincoln had, there was none of them that worth anything, and you know, he struggled with all that, and he had so many people that was against him, and you know, Brother Bram said that he was a man that had to stand by himself because nobody else agreed with him. You know, here he was standing there and he was saying, no, we need to fight because this is a place we've got to have unity. We've got to hold this Union together. This is the job that is required because that's what this nation was founded on. That we all stand together in unity. And we see how all of this fighting took place and everybody just ridiculed him. And you know, you find some of the former slaves that had been freed and they were out there and you know, they identified with him with every Old Testament prophet. They called him the Messiah. And you know what? And all of the Southerners called him the devil. And they ridiculed him and done all kinds of terrible things about him. And you know, Lincoln got to the point where he wouldn't even allow a newspaper in the White House.
Right.
It's like, well, cause he didn't need any of that kind of stuff. But you know, even all the people that he worked with that worked for him, none of them would agree to what he wrote. And he had to stand alone.
Right.
But you know what? It was because if you're going to do anything great for God, you can't have everybody else telling you what needs to be done.
That's right.
You don't need to have somebody else putting it in your ears. You need to come to the place where you hear from God for yourself.
Right.
And you know, it was so amazing because all of this fighting that was going on and one day there was at the Battle of Antietam was, they call it the bloodiest day. We lost more soldiers that day, over 22,000, almost 23,000 men were killed in one single day. The bloodiest day in American history, they call it.
Right.
And that one bloodiest day, McClellan's forces were able to repel Lee's forces. They retreated. And because of that, see, it wasn't a great victory that day. They couldn't see any great war, you know, anything great took place, but you know what? They turned the forces of evil back, the South.
Yeah.
And you know, because of Lincoln seeing that take place, you know, he had already written out the Emancipation Proclamation before that battle ever started. He had already come up with of what he was going to do. And you know, a lot of people make, you know, they always criticize Lincoln for the things that he done, but you know, the things that he done was, you know, he was just like everybody else. You grow in grace and knowledge.
Right,
just like Jesus.
Right,
the scripture said he grew in grace and knowledge.
Right,
he didn't have all the answers. Even later on, Jesus told the disciples, he said, I don't know when the second coming is going to be. I don't know all these different things. He hadn't told him.
Right.
He said, it's up to the Father to know these things. But you know, he had to grow in grace and knowledge, but you know, he had one thing that he held on to was that God would lead him in the direction that he needed to go. He had so many great things. One of the things that I always liked when they asked him said, do you know if the Lord's on our side or the Lord's on their side? He said, sir, I'm not concerned whether the Lord's on my side. He said, I want to be on the Lord's side, because he said the Lord's always right. You know, that's that, you know, instead of us trying to bring the word to our idea, we need to line up our thoughts to the word. We need to see what the word says, that we can line up our thoughts and compare it to that to make sure that we're right. Because you know what? The Lord's always right. You can read the scripture, and a lot of people have read the scripture and looked at a lot of different things, but you know what? It doesn't match up. Many people have read Matthew 28:19, and you know what? And that's what the Bible says, but you know what? That's not right. Many people have read the scripture from cover to cover and quote the scripture to you and believe in a Trinity.
Oh, yeah.
So if we're going to read the scripture, we need to make sure that we line it up to God's thoughts, not our thoughts. Because you know what? Our thoughts can be wrong. And many times we're wrong more than we're right. Because you know what? If we don't take it by what God gives us and shows us what the truth is, we have a lot of things wrong. We have a lot of questions. But you know what? When we see this battle that took place and you know, then this decree went out. You know, it wasn't a great day. It didn't change the world. It didn't destroy all the powers of the enemy. It didn't end the war. But you know what? It started on that day. When that took place, it took that one thing, that one battle. And when that occurred, then, you know, the South lost recognition throughout the world. Great Britain didn't back them. France didn't back them. So you know what? They were kind of cut off from the world. And that, you know, people thought, well, you know, they still had, and you know what? They still fought a lot of battles that they lost. The Union still lost a lot of battles after that. And people were still concerned that the Union was going to collapse. The war effort had gotten so bad that they didn't think Lincoln would get reelected. But you know what? Everything had already been put in place, had already been put in motion for this thing to go the way that it did. But people didn't see that. And so, you know, and then as time went on, we saw that they were men that raised up, continued the fight. General Grant, General Sherman, different ones. You know, they didn't hold back. You know, when General Grant was put in charge, he told Lincoln, he said, it's going to get ugly. It's a battle of contrition, you know, attrition. You know, we're just going to keep on going forward. We're not going back for anything. And it got ugly. It got bad. But you know what? They had a resolve that they were going to end this thing.
That's right, amen.
They were going to crush it.
Yes.
When they realized that, and a lot of people and different generals, you know, they walked in a realm that they were so afraid of different things, and they thought, you know, they couldn't win and all, you know, and they were so ill prepared for things. But you know, you have to be prepared for what you're going to do. And if you get to that place where they got into the, you know, the different ones that got in charge, you know, when they got into battle, you know, they didn't give up.
Amen.
And they fought till they got the victory.
Amen.
And they kept pushing them back, and because the South was in the position that it was in, it began to collapse. And you know, it took a long time for it to come through and actually get to the place where it needed to be. But you know what? After this great battle, and then you see this war continue and continue, you know what? They finally had to admit. Lee finally had to surrender. Because you know, he couldn't fight any longer. He had to give up. And so, you know, and then all those men, You look back at all those men that were fighting for, you know, and then a man of mercy and grace. Lincoln could have went through and just massacred so many of them. He could have hung them, shot them, done so many different things. But you know what? He let men go back with their horses, with their weapons. A lot of men got to go home for the simple fact that they swore their allegiance to the United States. And that's all he required of them. When a lot of, you look at a lot of wars that's taking place in the world, they don't, you know, when you surrender, it's on then. They murder them left and right. But you know, they were so many people that had so much resentment and just anger and everything against these people. And Lincoln walked out there and said, listen. He said, y'all need to put all that behind you. He said, because we're brothers. And let me tell you, if you can't see Christ in the life of Lincoln, I don't think you can find it in anybody. You know, because you know, many times we find people in the scripture and we read the scripture, but you know, people say, you know, who in this world can you see that you see the life of Jesus Christ? People want to go to the Bible and they want to look and say, well, this is it. People say, who in this world can you stand up and point to somebody that's actually had to go through the great turmoils and things and live the kind of life that people saw Jesus Christ in their life? You know, and so what we see these kind of things and you know, I just wanted to bring out a few things to show you because it really just stirs me up inside because, you know, that's what God wants us to see in this scripture. But you know, you go back from the beginning, God gave us a word. God never wanted us to live bound. Brother Branham said, you know, God never gave us a place to be bound. He wanted us to be free.
Amen.
God never wanted us to live in sin. He, you know, he said there never was a time in this world he ever wanted to have a funeral service. There was none of those things. Sickness, heartache, disease, all these things were not part of God's plan. But you know what? That was man's plan. That was man that got away from God's eternal word. Because the word had declared what was ours. But you know, a man had to get into his own way and create his own way of doing things and having his own thoughts. And it created death. And it's ever since then, it's just been all this contention that has been in this world. We live in a world that is full of contention. Even from the beginning, there was an enmity between God's seed and the seed of the serpent. And we see this great enmity between the Satan and God, this fight, this conflict that was taking place. And you know, and so Satan has always thought that he could beat God. Because, you know, he said, I'll be like the Most High. You know, he was going to be just like God. He was going to do these great things, but you know what? He never could be like God. He can try as much as he can, but he can't be like God. But, you know, all this fighting is warring going on. And, you know, we see that there were times in history when the children of Israel and different ones walked close to God. And the next time you turn around and they're following all the idols of the world and doing all the things that were contrary to the word. And they would go back and walk with God and try to live right. And then they would go right back. Why? Because there was no answer. There was no final answer. There was no way to settle this question. Right. It had to come to a finality. Right. That it had to come where it was actually answered. Mm-hmm. And you know, you go back and look in the scripture when, as Brother Wade was speaking, you know, you go back and you think about and Passover and the different ones and you think of all of the blood that was shed. All of those lambs that went, all of those bullocks, all of those turtle doves, every one of them that they brought forth, and all of, you know, every time that a child was born, when they came, they had to bring a offering, a sacrifice to the priest for the children. And Passover and all the other different things that they had to go through in their life. Every time they had to bring different offerings and all of this bloodshed was taking place. All the way through life, they were all the time bringing their gifts. But the scripture tells us, All of that blood that was shed, all of those animals could not change anybody. It could not change the fact that they were still had that same desire. They were still living in the same way. But you know what? There had to come one who could bring the answer.
Amen.
And he said, you know, he typed, there was one that could answer that question. You know, when it came time for him to come into the world, because it had been prophesied that he would come, and fulfill this word. Well, you know what? People didn't agree with him. People didn't even recognize him. He had a terrible name, and he just come from a poor background, and nobody ever cared anything about him. And you know, they said, "Who is this guy?"
Yeah.
And they said, "Well, you know, this man has a devil." You know, they had all these terrible things to say about him, but you know what? He had a word, and he knew what God had told him to do. And he said, the Son can do nothing in himself except what he sees the Father do. He said, that doeth the Son likewise. Why? Because he had been given a commission to come into this world and to answer the sin question. Why? Because God never wanted us to be bound. He never wanted us to be sick. He said he wanted us to be happy. He said, look at the way it was in the Garden of Eden. God made a perfect place for man to live, and he never would have to get old, and he never would have to deal with all these things. It was a perfect place to live. And then God wanted us to come in and live in this condition. But you know what? Adam and Eve got away from God's word. But you know what? When he came, he made a way back. But the problem is people don't want to take this word and come back. You can't get them to see, because they have their old traditions, because they're living by the old man. Like President Buchanan thought, well, you know, we're just going to live the same way we've always lived. Well, you know, that's the same old man, same old traditions. People want to live by that old same old way, the same old thing the devil has taught them all these years, and they still want to live the same way. But he said, I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly.
Amen.
See, so when he came into this world, he came to do one thing. He said, I come to seek and save those who were lost.
Amen.
And we've seen all of that bloodshed all the way down through the time, as the scripture said, and it couldn't change anybody.
Right.
But you know what? There was one that came, that he came to shed his blood.
Amen.
That you might have an eternal inheritance.
Amen.
And you know what? He was fought all the way through, scorned and mocked and everything else. But you know what? That didn't deter him from the work that he was supposed to do. You know what? He just put all that out of his mind. And you see speaking of Lincoln, you see how he had to do the same thing. He had to go, and he had to come to a place that he had to realize, you know, it didn't matter what anybody else said. He knew what his commission was. And God was going to call him to that place in the right time. He had to do what God wanted him to do. And he came to that place. And Jesus came to the place. 1 minute people were cheering him and praising him and singing his praises and everything, and the next minute they were all calling him a devil and they wanted him crucified. And you know, and he stood out there and he watched these people, and you know, some of them that just loved him so much, and the next minute they hated him so much.
Right.
And he stood out there and said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do.
Yeah.
And he went to the cross willingly.
Yeah.
Nobody had to take his life from him. He gave his wife his life willingly.
Amen.
Because he had such a love for us and knew what the end result was going to be, that he went out and gave his life. No one had to take it from him. So when he went on the cross and he said, and Lord, into my hands I commend my spirit. When the spirit left him, then you know, he just died. That body was gone. You know, the life had left that body, was just hanging there. You know, they pierced his side. But you know, you look at the bloodshed. You know, we talk about the bloodiest day.
Yes.
You know, you think about, well, we talk about the Old Testament and all that bloodshed. But you know, you think about the one that came.
Yes.
Who knew no sin.
Man. That's right.
who left the splendor of heaven, when he left everything to come down to be lower than the angels, when he came to be man, to walk in sinful flesh. Not that he was sinful, but he came to live the same kind of journey that you and I walk. He knows what sickness is. He knows what heartache is. He knows what all the problems that you've been through. He knows exactly what it is, so that he can be the high priest that can be touched by the feeling of our infirmities. That he knows all these things, that he walked, and you know what, he gave up his life, but when he went, he took all those stripes on his back, that he become to look like more than just unrecognizable as a human. To look like hamburger meat. And he done all that for you and I. That we can stand here today and be recipients of eternal life.
Amen.
That we can be sons and daughters of God.
Amen.
That if you and I can live just like that, because he gave everything that he had, everything about him, he gave his all. Because he had one desire. You know, Lincoln stood there and you know, he said, I'm gonna give it. He said, if it takes my life, he said, I'm gonna do this. Because nobody, there was a lot of people in this world that didn't even believe black people had a soul. And yet Lincoln said that he believed that black people were just like him. They were creations of God. And fought the fight that he had to fight. And you know what was so amazing? People didn't recognize what Lincoln had done while he was here. And you know, Jesus came and walked in flesh and to be the great sacrifice, the propitiation that
Amen.
For you and I.
Right.
And here he was, giving his life, and it cost him his life.
Yes,
amen. This great bloodshed, but you know what? He left a legacy.
Amen.
Lincoln. When you see the kind of life, you know, because if you can't see Jesus Christ in that man. And you know, that's the way we ought to wake up every single day, to have a desire to live like Jesus Christ.
Amen.
When you see how Jesus came and all the things, Jesus could have had many things in this world. He could have had a family. He could have done many things. But you know, he sanctified himself that he could be to the job, commission that he was given to fulfill the word. He sanctified himself to the Father that he could do the work to be a willing vessel for the Father and come and fulfill all these different, fulfill all the word that was written of him. That you and I can be given all the great things that we have been given in this life.
Amen.
And you know, one of the saddest things is there were people that don't want to live, that live below their means.
Amen.
You know, they still live in bondage when they know there's a way that's been made to be free.
Right.
You know, Brother Branham talks about those slaves when that decree went out. You know, he said they began to hear about this decree, and when it was made known, he said, you know, they started climbing the mountains. He said when the sun came up, they were waiting for the sun to rise on that certain day. The Emancipation Proclamation, if I'm not mistaken, came into effect on January the 1st, 1863. But, you know, they were waiting for that thing to come because that was their day of freedom.
Amen.
They had heard the word and they were waiting for that day. And Brother Bram talks about in the message, letting off the pressure, and he's talking about those slaves when they'd heard about that. And you know, they had been waiting for this day, and they talk about all the ones that were climbing up the mountain, the strongest Christians, you know, the ones that climbed up that mountain to get up on the top. And he said that as soon as they started to see the light cracking through, when the sun was coming up and they started to see the light, he said then they started screaming back down the mountain, we're free. We're free. Why? Because we're seeing the sun come up. We're seeing the sun rise. We're seeing the sun, and he's declaring to us that we are free.
Amen. Right.
And, you know, and he said, you know, they, even though they were walking in darkness, they didn't see what other people saw. But you know what? They had heard the word, and the word told them that they were free. And you know what? In time, they began to see the light of the word that the decree that had been made. And you know, brothers and sisters, we've heard the word.
Amen.
We've heard the word that we're free.
Amen.
You know what? That all that God has, he poured into us. He said, all that the God was, he poured into Christ, and all that Christ was, he poured into the bride. He poured into the believer. So the thing is he said, you are heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. And if you and I are the same, then you know what? We don't have to live. We don't have to take the things that Satan puts in front of us. We don't have to listen to this. We can stand up and claim our God-given rights. Why? Because the Son has risen in our day. And he said, whom the Son has set free is free indeed. And the question is to you, do you see the sunshine? Do you see the sunlight? Have you seen the sunrise? Is the sun shining in your life? Are you seeing the effects of the sun? Are you seeing these things? Are you seeing what God has given us in this day? I thank God for it. I don't want to live the same way that I used to. I don't want to go back through the old things. Because I want to walk in newness of life. I want to walk in all that God has called me to. I don't want to live the old way. Because I tell you what, the old man is dead. I don't want to go out there digging him up. If he's dead, it's time to put all that behind us. We don't need to be digging it up. We don't need to be trying to rehash the past. Why? Because if it's in the blood, then as Paul said, he said, putting those things behind us, he said, we need to press toward the mark of the high calling. Why? Because God has called us to a place that we need to not worry about the past, because if it's buried, if it's in God's sea of forgetfulness, then we don't need to be trying to worry about it anymore. People are so worried about things that happened in the past. You know, you need to not worry about that anymore. Why? Because God has called us to a higher place. God has called us to greater things. And we need to be climbing that mountain, because if you're in darkness and you can't see the light very well, then there's a mountain to climb on top of and see the sunshine. God has called. We need to go and see where we can see what God has given us. Where is the light that's shining on the word to show us who we are? That God has called us to a place that, you know, we have been commissioned. We've been called. We have been given the word.
Amen.
Right.
For a body change.
Sure. Right. Amen.
That's it.
You know, other people desired to see our day.
Yes, they did. Right.
And God has called us to a place that we can see the things that God he's always wanted this to be, to show these things. He always wanted these things.
Amen.
This was God's mystery secret that Brother Ram said in Christ the Mystery.
Yep. Amen.
He had a mystery that he wanted to, but it was a secret. It was a secret that had to be revealed.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, there was only a few that saw that. But you know, in time, through the prophets, he began to express. Amos tells us that it was a secret. Surely the Lord God will do nothing except he reveal his secret to his servants, the prophets. But Revelation tells us that it's a mystery. Because in the beginning, when something is hidden, it's a secret. So it's like if I told Wade something earlier and y'all didn't know that I had told him anything, it's a secret because y'all don't know anything about it. But you know, as soon as I declare that I told Wade something and y'all don't know what it is, then it becomes a mystery because you've been made aware that something has been spoken. And as soon as it becomes spoken, then it becomes the mystery. So what laid in the back part of God's mind was a secret. But when he began to declare that, then he was declaring what he knew to the prophets. That was a secret to the prophets because he was making himself known. Then he began to declare to the people what he said, and that became a mystery. And then the mystery had to be made known.
Amen.
And so that's what God has desired in our day, is to, all through the scripture, all the things that people go back and they read things. But you know what? It's a mystery. So sure, they're reading all the stuff that Jesus said in Isaiah and Jeremiah and Moses and all that. But you know, they don't see Jesus Christ in that. And then they read things. And the problem is they don't see themselves in the scripture. It doesn't speak of them. It speaks of people that have, it's been in the past. But see, the thing is God wants us to read the scripture where we see Jesus Christ in it.
Amen.
You know, it's not that we're learning historical facts or anything, but just like in the feast days, if you don't see Jesus Christ, if you don't see your relationship with Jesus Christ, then it's just historical facts. It's just history. But if you don't see, God wants us to, not to be just words on a page, but He wants us to have it to be a living instrumentality. He wants us to see that it's a living thing speaking to us. He wants us to see that it's a relationship. It's a life that's there. If we don't see that, then we've missed it. God wants us to see these things. And I just want to share this with you. You know, so many years later, Brother Brown was talking about he said there was a black man. He said he was standing in a museum. And that black man saw that dress that was in that window. And he said that man saw that thing and he said, you know, he was just crying. And he was so overcome with emotion. So Brother Branham come over to where he was at. You know, he said, Uncle, he said, you know, what's wrong? You know, what's going on? And he said, all I could see was a dress. He said, I didn't see anything else. But he said that black man stood there and told him. He said, on that dress is the blood of Abraham Lincoln. He said, I was just thanking God. He told Brother Branham, he said, Parson, put your hand in here on my side. You know, Brother Branham felt, he said, that's where that slave belt was on that man. Had him bound. And he said, it was the blood of Abraham Lincoln that set me free. And he said, if a black man can see a blood of a man, the blood of Abraham Lincoln could cause a man to react that way. He said, how much more should the blood of Jesus Christ cause us to react? How much more should we react to the blood of Jesus Christ? Not just that we can say that a physical belt or a physical bondage was on us. But you know what? If we wake up and realize, you know, spiritual bondage has been broken off us. If we remember where we came from to realize where we are today, then you know what? There's nothing in this world that can compare to that. You know, if it's, you know, as a soul is worth 10,000 worlds, then you know what? You know, you can't put a price tag on that. And you know, many times people, you can go along and you can live in the world and you can have fun and you think you're going to sneak around and do different things. And you know, you can just walk that little line between good and, you know, bad and right and wrong and all that kind of stuff. But you know what? You know, you'll find out that you won't play that game too long. Why? Because sin will carry you further than you'll ever want to go. People, you know, young people, they get so wrapped up in things and not realizing. It's a lot of fun for a while. Just like Moses, the scripture says that he enjoyed the pleasures of sin for a season. Well, the problem is you never know when it's going to run out. That pleasure is going to run out after a while. And you never know. There's lots of people in this world that's been left with a lot of scars.
Yes, sir.
Yep. Because of sin.
Right.
And just like that black man stood there and told Brother Branham about that slave belt, you know, he still had those scars. But you know, there was a blood to set him free. But let me tell you, you don't want to have, there's a lot of scars that we have, that other people have, you know, that you don't want anybody to have to go down the same roads that you've been down to be free from these things. And we don't know how much longer we have, but I want everybody to be ready to go. You know, because I don't want anybody left behind. You don't want to be left behind. But I want to share everybody. I just want to share with everybody. There is a blood that can cleanse you from all unrighteousness. It's the greatest day. Because you know what? That blood is still available today. It's still as powerful as it ever was. And he's still seeking and saving. He's still calling those. My question is, are you going to answer the call? Are we going to be the one? Because you know, God's not going to just speak out of the air. It's you and I that have to live the life to speak to those that need to be spoken to. It's our job. It's our job to speak to people, to tell them there's a better way. Just like Brother Wade was saying this morning, talking about, you know, can they see that life in you? When they go, do they see something different about you? Not that you talk different and that you don't do certain things. But when they walk into your presence, do they realize there's something different about you? You know, I want to be in His presence so much that people around me feel His presence also. You know, it's, as I preached some time back, I preached on, you know, you're creating an atmosphere. Right. A difference between an atmosphere and your environment. Right. You know, do you live in the atmosphere or you dealt with the environment? I told, you know, the children, the Hebrew children, you know, the environment they were in was a fiery furnace. And you know, the people that led them on their way to the furnace after it was heated seven times hotter, it killed them. Yep, right. But the atmosphere that the Hebrew children, the Hebrew boys were in was, they didn't smell like smoke. Nope, that's right. They didn't get singed. Nope, 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 right. There wasn't a hair on their head that was injured. They didn't have anything and they stayed in the fire. Amen. The other people didn't even get in the fire and it killed them. So are you, you know, it's just, are you living in the atmosphere? Because we create the atmosphere that we live in. By the word, you can create an atmosphere. That you know what? You can block out the environment. We live in Satan's Eden. You can't control the environment. You know what? Devil's always going to fight you. You're always going to have devil trying to put thoughts in your head. There's always going to be things coming your way. But you know what? You create the atmosphere. That you don't give place to the devil. Right, you resist the devil and he flees from you. So we are being called to that place. Amen. To stand and fight this battle. As 1 Timothy 6 said, fight the good fight of faith. Amen. That's our desire. God has made a way for us, but we got to fight this fight. Let's fight this battle. We've been called to an eternal inheritance. Amen. 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 God bless you this afternoon. Let's all stand. Have the musicians come. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And what can make me whole again is nothing but the blood of Jesus. I'm so glad I have that blood. That blood has been applied to me. You know, because it's just like he told the children of Israel, they had to take that blood. And it didn't, and it wasn't that they just had to have the blood. They had to apply the blood. And we have to have the blood applied. Not just to know about the blood. is the blood applied to every aspect of our lives. You know, we all have sins and shortcomings and failures. But do we apply that blood? That we can be what God would have us be. I'm so glad that we have that. Apply the blood. As Brother Weeks was speaking on the other Sunday, let's have diligence in the things that God has called us to make our calling and election sure. Amen. God bless you, brother.
Nothing but the blood.
One can wash away my sin.
Nothing but the blood of
Jesus. What
can
make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is that flow that makes me white as snow. No other. Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
For my cleansing this I see.
Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Jesus, oh, precious is that flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. It's nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Nothing
can for sin atone. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Not of good that I have done. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is that flow that makes me white as snow. But the blood of Jesus. This is all my hope and peace. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all my righteousness. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is that flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Now
by this I'll overcome. Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Now by this I'll reach my home.
Now by this I'll reach my home. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is that flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of
sing.
Glory, glory, thus I sing. Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
All my praise for this I bring.
All my praise for this I bring. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is that flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
I want to share with you one of my favorite quotes that Lincoln made. He said, and I believe it was after he was reelected. He said, I intend to run this administration that when it comes time for me to lay down the reins of power, he said, if I've lost every other friend in the world, he said, I'll have one friend and it'll be inside of me. He'll be inside of me. You know, if we could live our lives like that, and we can hear, well done, my good and faithful servant. So that's my desire. To be more like Him every day. To be like Jesus. On earth I long. To have such a burning desire to be like Him. All through life's journey from earth to glory, I only ask to be like Him. Amen. I don't know if it does anything for y'all, but it stirs me up. Praise the Lord. Anyway, we're going to have Brother Wade come. You got anything to say, brother? All right. Well, we've made those that will be here Wednesday night. And continue to remember those that are sick and keep everyone safe, all the other ones. And we just thank the Lord that He's kept so many. We have a plant of, I think there's roughly about 800 people in our plant. I think we've probably had a dozen COVID cases in our plant. And I thank the Lord because that's a remarkable number, because I know other places that have a large number and COVID cases have just run rampant in some of the manufacturing plants. But you know, I just thank the Lord He's watched over. You know, wash your hands, wear your mask, and stay away from everybody. But you know, it still takes the mercy and grace of God. Amen. So, God bless y'all this afternoon. We're going to just offer a word of prayer before we dismiss. And just, I want to say I love each one of you. I appreciate each one of you. And I'm looking forward to getting back where we have church like everybody being here. Like we can all be together. I was thinking the other day that, you know, it won't be long. It'll be fall time. It'll be time to have a fall festival, Lord. Allows us to get together and everything, and I'm looking forward to those type of things. So y'all just pray that all this gets cleared up, we can get back in church. I know there's a lot of people that miss them. We miss seeing you. But we just want you to know we pray for you, and if you have a need, y'all let us know. And brother, I know Brother Bob, Brother Joe and all of them's real good about getting in touch with everybody, and we just want, and all the bride around the world, Brother Ron and the different ones, and Brother Ron Spencer and the different ones, and so many of them, Brother Carol and different ones, that this thing's gotten on, and you know, other needs, but He's still the same yesterday, today, Amen. And forever. Amen. So let's just all bow our heads and be dismissed. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we're just so thankful, Lord Jesus, for what You've done for us. Lord, for that great day at Calvary, Lord. That day at Calvary when You came, Lord, and You shed Your blood. Lord, that we could become the righteousness of God. Lord, that You took on our sin. Lord, we can't praise You enough for that. And Lord, You took away all of those things, all of our sins, all our shortcomings, Lord Jesus. Lord, You gave us Your life. And Lord, We know that one of these days you're coming back, and we just want to be ready, Lord. We want to be faithful servants, a faithful soldier to the cross. Lord, that we be what you'd have us be. Lord, we thank you for the word that we've heard today. Lord, let us apply it to our lives, Lord. Lord, mold us into your image. Lord, cut away the things that are of the world, Lord, that are unpleasing, Lord. Lord, shear us and do whatever you have to do, Lord. Lord, we don't want anything between you and us. Lord, that we can be just perfect before you. And Father, for each one that's been sick and afflicted, Lord, we pray for Nanny at home, Lord. Lord, you said you sent your word and healed them and delivered them from destruction. Lord, for Dad in the hospital. We bind the enemies of the powers of the enemy, Lord. We bind it. Why? Because we can claim it through your blood. Lord, for the different ones that we've heard about, Brother Joel Canada. Lord, I know that you'll touch his body. Lord, that he don't have to struggle with this thing anymore. Lord, for Brother Carol and Brother Ron, we believe that there'll be a good report. Lord, that everything will be all right. Father, we've seen you do so many things, Lord, and you want us to believe and expect great things and big things. Why? Because that you've done big things, because you're a big God. And we believe it. We commit it to you, Lord. Lord, we commit everything to you as we leave. We just pray that you be with us, Lord. Those that are home watching today, our Father, we pray that you'll be with them and strengthen them, bless them. Lord, whatever they go through in their daily lives, Lord, we pray that you'll be there with them and show them that you love them, that you care for them. Lord, reveal yourself in a special way to each one. We pray for our pastor, Lord. Lord, we're just so thankful you kept your hand upon him. Lord, we pray that you strengthen him, Lord. Lord, we need a shepherd in this hour. We know that you're the great shepherd, but Lord, we realize we need a shepherd in this hour. Father, we pray that you bless him, Lord, because he's been such a blessing to us. Lord, he needs strength and so many things, Lord, because he's fighting a great battle. Lord, he needs us to be behind him. And Lord, let's just continue to hold him up before you, Lord. Lord, that you can do what has to be done, Lord. Lord, that you can bring us the word. Lord, we thank you for this fivefold ministry that we hear, these brothers, Lord, that labor in the word. Lord, I'm so thankful, Lord, that I'm a part of it. Lord, that I'm honored, Lord, to be associated with these brothers. And Lord, for each one that gathers in this building, Lord, this little family of believers here, Lord, I thank you for each one of them. And Lord, we know that the angels of God are encamped about those that fear him. And Lord, I pray that you just make yourself known to each one of them. Lord, whatever the sickness or disease, whatever the trial or heartache is, Lord Jesus, Lord, you're there to meet with them. Lord, that they're more than conquerors, Lord, that they can overcome. Lord, we may not be together in the physical form, Lord, but we are together in you. Lord, we call for the Holy Spirit to come and minister to each one. And Lord, for your bride around the world, the brothers and sisters, Lord, that are going through, Lord, sometimes we don't even realize what our brothers and sisters are going through, the struggles, Lord, because we don't face those things. Lord, we have such a life of ease here. Lord, we think we have inconveniences and struggles, Lord, but they really fight battles sometimes. Lord, I pray that you be with them and strengthen them, Lord. Lord, we may not all be able to go, Lord. But we can all stand before the throne of mercy and grace and intercede for our brothers and sisters, Lord. Lord, those that give their lives. Sometimes, Lord, we don't even realize that people are still giving their life for this gospel. As the song said, it's dripping with blood. It's dripping with blood. This Holy Ghost gospel is dripping with blood. Lord, there's so many that struggle, Lord. And Lord, let us not be lax in what we do, Lord, that this Laodicean age, Lord, this spirit gets upon people and just rocks people to sleep. Lord, let us not be that way. Lord, let us not be lukewarm. Let us be on fire, Lord Jesus. Lord, you said that you'd rather us be hot or cold. Lord, let us be hot. Let us be on fire. Lord, let us be exactly what you'd have us to be. And Lord, we thank you for it. Lord, lead and guide in each one. Lord, watch over them as they travel. Lord, bless as we come back on Wednesday. Lord, we pray that you bless Brother Wade, Lord, as he continues in the word. Lord, strengthen him, give him the words that we have need of, Lord. Lord, bless our hearts. Lord, feed us what we have need of. Lord, it's such a late hour. I don't want just to be just another time just to gather, Lord, we're not redeeming the time, Lord. Lord, let us be laboring in all that we should be doing. Lord, I want to be ready to go. I don't want to be held back by anything. Lord, we see the world in the condition that it's in, and the world is falling apart, Lord. Lord, but you said when we see these things to look up, because our redemption draweth nigh. Father, we thank you for that, Lord. We praise your great name. We love you, Lord, because you first loved us. Lord, we commit all these things in the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. God bless you this evening.
Reaches to the highest mountain and it flows.